I'm sorry, we're out. So, but we have only one chapter left, I believe. We have a few chapters left. We have two chapters left, and then we're back in the book one. So I'd encourage you, if you want to, you can get into go buy book one. It's just a few weeks, and then we're back into it fully, okay? So the motivational gifts, we want to talk about the motivational gifts because they are a key to figuring out yourself. A lot of people don't know themselves, and I've learned this a long time ago. The greatest way to live is called intentional living. A lot of people live unintentional lives, which simply means this. Number one, they don't know who they are. They don't know how they tick. Therefore, they live life on accident and cause themselves a lot of trouble. Amen. And so what happens is you need to know that God created you intentionally. He created you with divine purpose. He created you with personality that you needed. You're not taller than you're supposed to be. You're not shorter than you're supposed to be. You're not brown hair, yellow hair, pink hair. I don't know what color hair you got. Oh, you have yellow and pink. Glory to God. Don't think you were born that way, but hey, you never know. What's amazing is that God created you so specific. And in that, you need to celebrate who God has made you. But you can't celebrate who God has made you unless you know who you are. And so many times, the believers have never been taught about the motivational gifts. We've been taught about spiritual gifts. Remember, there are 9 spiritual gifts. There are 3 power gifts. They are the gift of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healing. Boy, you guys are out of practice. Did we not cover this or not? Yeah, we did. Okay, let's try it one more time. There are 9 spiritual gifts. Are you ready? Found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There are 3 knowledge gifts. The word of, the discerning of. Very good. There are 3 verbal gifts. They are the gift of tongues, prophecy, interpretation of tongues. You got to keep them a little bit in order, kid. You understand? Then there are 3 power gifts. What are they? The gift of faith, the working of miracles, gifts of healing. Very good. Plural gifts. The 9 gifts of the Spirit. How many of the 9 gifts of the Spirit do you have resident inside of you? All of them. Why? Because the Holy Spirit resides in you. Who's the giver of the gifts? The Holy Spirit. So every gift that you need is resident within you, and God will use them in your life on a daily basis if you allow them to. Those are powerful, but there are also what's called motivational gifts. These are how you tick. Turn to someone and say, this is how you tick. This is found in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8, and it says this, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function." Turn to someone and say, "Are you a toe?" There's nothing wrong with toes. Toes are really important. How many of you realize that the little toe is your most important toe on your feet? Why is that? It is. It's fully your balance. How many of you are very excited that you have a little toenail on your little toe? How many of you think about your little toenail on your toe on a constant basis? Oh, he stubs it all the time. I was concerned maybe he was painting it or something. I didn't know. But, you know, it's him. No. You have to be able to reach it. That's his wife, man. I love his wife. So what's happened is there are body parts. The Bible says we're all one members, but we're different parts. So if you don't know who you are, you don't know how you fit. The problem with a believer that doesn't know how they fit, they kind of float, which means they end up not doing anything. And we all know that the Bible and God created you to work. Turn to someone and say, you're supposed to work. This is not a sitting. This is a moving. God has called you to do something, not to sit something. So in that, if you don't know who you are or how God made you tick, then you don't know what you like to do. You don't know where you fit. And so it's important to know that every one of us do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then, ate too much of that stuff. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So this is important. Every one of us, God has given you a different grace. The word grace there means power. He's given you a different power to do what he's called you to be. Which means, if you've been called and God's given you a gift, he's given you enough power to be successful in that gift. You're not a survivor in that gift. God's given you the power to be successful in that gift. But if you don't know your gift, how can you be successful in something you don't know that you have? So the more you know about yourself, you understand how God made you tick, you then have the power to fulfill the destiny that God has foreordained for you. Now your life has direction and purpose and destiny rather than fondling around the earth trying to figure out why you're breathing. Amen. So these are the gifts. Prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives in liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now these are the seven, if I say seven, seven's a perfect number, seven motivational gifts. Christian or non-Christian, everybody's been born with motivational gifts. Everybody. God fearfully and wonderfully made every single person on this planet. And in that, everybody's been given motivational gifts. When a person is unsaved, they're rough. When a person is born again, understands them, and allows the Holy Spirit to mold them, they become powerful changers in the kingdom of God. So our goal in this class is to really empower you to understand who you are. Taking a step further is allowing the Holy Spirit to start changing you so that your gifts are honed. Does everybody know what the word honed means? It means sharpened. God wants to make you sharp with your gift. Not accidental with your gift, but intentionally living in the gift that God has given you so that you can be used as a part of the body. Now listen, if you have a finger, everybody got a finger? Not everybody does have a finger, but if you have a finger, wave your finger at me. Can anybody go circles like this? Very good. Everybody go like this? Go like this? Come on. Young people don't know what that is, but it works real good, doesn't it? Do you remember watching your child when they were first born? They had hands, right? Fingers? Did they move them? Yep, a little. Did they have any real function to them? Were they like discoing? No. Were they circling? No. Why? Unskilled. They are good at grabbing hair and beards. So what's happened is their motor skills increase as they become more mature. And in the body of Christ, our motivational gifts, as we get to know them, they'll become more sharp. Or the skill sets will increase with the gift that God has given us. Why? Well, because when your finger is and your motor skills are sharper, you can pick up smaller things. Whoa, whose are these? I think that's a donation. No, my wife, she's skipped house. I mean, she's been gone since 9 this morning, and I didn't get anything to eat. No one cares. And she leaves tomorrow to go to a warm climate. Watch. I love Franken beans. Watch them. Motor skills. Ready? A baby goes like this. Right? I'll put them back in. Somebody with better motor skills. I don't really like the pretzel ones. These are like mint ones. They're really good, chocolate mint ones. Watch. I picked it up. I'm holding it with two fingers. And watch. I want it to go in my mouth. Did it work? No. No, I didn't put it back. It's right here. Watch. Motor skills. Thank you. Thank you. And you applauded why? Because I did it right. When you don't know your motivational skill, you're not increasing your motor skills in that skill, no one's going to clap. Because you're going to hurt people rather than build people. You're going to disenfranchise yourself rather than accelerate yourself. You're not going to bring nutrients to anybody. You're going to bring pain. And really what ends up happening is when you have a body, dude, come here over here. What's your name?
Andrew.
Andrew, it's nice to meet you. I'd like you to hold your leg up in the back. There you go. And I just want you to run across this sanctuary. Faster. Okay, come back. That's not bad. Now run right from there. Run. Did he move faster? Yes. Why? Right. And really, his body was working properly. Most churches are disabled because people don't know their motivational gifts. Thank you. People don't know their motivational gifts, therefore they're not part of the body of Christ, and they're not working as one. So they're grabbing a chair, sitting on their butts, and disabling the rest of the church. Can you imagine if every single person did what God called them to do in a local church? Do you know what God? You know what God said about this? When they were building the Tower of Babel, this is what God said. I've got to confound their languages because if man puts their heart to one thing, there's nothing they can't do. So what's happened is because of the lack of teaching when it comes to motivational gifts is we have a bunch of folks in church who have loved, they love God. They're going to heaven, but they don't know why they're here. They don't know why God created them. They don't know the gifts that are inside of them. So therefore they sit and don't work. And when they don't work, listen, he got a cross, right? He got a cross with one leg, but he did it a lot easier with two. And much faster with two. This is the process of motivational gifts. You need to know who you are. You need to know how God made you tick. You need to know what God has plans for you. And all of that is found in Romans chapter 12. That's what I love so much about God. He hasn't left us guessing. He gave us actually the answer that we need to accomplish why we're here on this planet. And I love God for that. Because God wants you successful. That poor fish. That was a good fish, too. Now I'm sad. No, now the problem is I got to clean it up. I got to go get a vacuum cleaner. Here we go. One of the things that is important in the body of Christ is learning how to grow up. The church hasn't talked a lot about it because it can be offensive. But we have too many immature Christians in the church that by now should be teachers, that by now should be working. Turn to someone and say, don't be slug. No, I didn't say slug. You guys say slug. Come on, tell somebody, don't be slug. We have too many people in the body of Christ who aren't working. They're not doing anything for the Lord. And what's happened is we have so many immature people that now should be working. What it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 5 at the very end, it says that they grew up by reason of use, which means they're using their gifts, they're using the motivational gifts, they're using the doctrine that they're learning, and they're growing up. God needs us to grow up in Christ. God needs us to mature. Why? We've got a phenomenal job to do. This is not a small job. This is not a job for the pastor. This is a job for the body of Christ. And when the body of Christ puts their hands in it together, there is nothing we can't accomplish. No, I mean that. There's nothing we can't accomplish. Now, Rod Parsley, he's a guy that's been just a blessing in my life for many years. And Rod Parsley, many years ago, in the 90s, he wanted to shut down the porn shops. So what he did was he got video cameras, and he stood on public land, and he video camered everybody going in and out of the porn shops and ran it on public access TV. It kind of caused issues. He said one guy literally came out, saw it, dove into the bushes. So here we have my wife. Shoot, right in the bushes. And so they took him to court, like the porn shops took him to court. They were suing him. And he looked at his church and said, "We're the body. Let's show up. They're not suing me. They're suing us." 5,000 people showed up at the courthouse. By the way, the voice was so loud, they threw it out. You see, that's what happens when the body of Christ gets together and we do things as one. There's nothing we can't accomplish. But what's happened is because so many people don't know who they are in Christ, they never start fulfilling God's purpose for their life. Therefore, they just go to church. God's never called you to go to church. God's called you to be busy. I am, because that was really a depressing amen. You know, I thought it was in a Pentecostal church. I needed a sugar rush after that one. All right. Let's talk about these gifts. Now, at the end of this chapter, there's an actual test for you. And actually, I don't like this test. So I will get one for you, and I'll give it to you next week. Pastor Dan has them. But I want to talk about these gifts, these seven gifts. The first one is called prophecy, and I want you to know that's not about prophesying. So remember, one of the spiritual gifts is prophecy. That's not what this is at all. When you read this verse, understanding this word in the Greek is very important. It does not mean prophecy. It means a person who's like a perceiver. What does that mean? A person with the gift of prophecy, everything is black and white. There is no gray matter. Does anybody know somebody like that? I'm just going to tell it the way it is. It is you. You're a perceiver. Here it is. They are result-driven individuals. Nothing personal, we just got to get it done. This is a person where there is no gray area. No gray area. They are not going to put up with compromise at all. They'll slaughter you before they compromise. I'm sorry. That means you're a little honed. Here we go. It is either black or white, there's nothing in the middle. They are people who stand for truth and will speak clearly, no matter who it hurts, to make sure it's understood, and they're not going to shift from the truth. They rely upon the word as their base and measure themselves and others to that ruler. They look at a person's reputation and character as a basis of their relationship. They are repelled by fakeness, lies, misrepresentations, and a bad character. They won't tolerate that person. They won't even have them near them. How am I doing? Right to the T. This is Jesus. It's not me. I didn't do this. Here we go. They are very hard on themselves when it comes to walking before the Lord. They want to be holy. They're very direct in their comments. They're not meaning to be harsh, but you're laying there with no arms and legs. Here we go. They can be impulsive on the edge in other areas. Here we go. They're extremely loyal and expect loyalty. This is a person with the motivational gift of prophecy. It's really funny because you have to have this individual in your life. You need them. Why? Because they keep you on the straight and narrow. They keep you from going off doctrinally. They keep you from compromising in your life. They just tell you, hey, listen, get right. Yeah, you're golden, brother. You're in good shape. She's going to keep you straight, brother. Amen. God sent her just for you. So this motivational gift of prophecy is very powerful in church. When it's unhoned, though, it wounds a lot of people. Man, you look horrible today. Are you okay? You know, I thought you'd look better. You know, I thought you'd look better. You know, I'm so sorry that, you know, you're getting old and, you know, the way it is. And the motivational gift of prophecy will actually walk up to somebody and say, oh, are you okay? You look horrible. And you look at them going, how can somebody say that? In fact, when you start learning about the gift of mercy, the motivational gift of mercy, the person with mercy and the motivational gift of perceiver, they're great enemies. They're the opposites. And so this motivational gift of prophecy is very important. There are people that will just stand up and tell the truth, and it really doesn't matter if it hurts your feelings. You need to know the truth, for the truth will make you free. And there's, I'm not going to edge it off at all. This is the way it is. Like it or lump it. Amen? The next person is the motivational gift of ministry or service. This is a task-focused individual. They love people, but love to do more for people than just say, I love you. They are the doers of the church. Very important. You can't have a church without people of service. Here it is. They love meeting practical needs. They do not like the red tape. They see a need, they want to fix it. Anybody know somebody like that? Here it is. A person with the gift of service doesn't want to be in front of people. They actually don't see themselves as very spiritual. They just want to be behind the scenes, and they want to help any way they can to make things move forward. They love the vision and want to move it forward practically, not out front with other individuals. They tend to not pay attention to their own needs because they have a difficult time saying no to anybody who needs help. Usually wives get very angry with people with this gift. It's hard to keep them home because there's always somebody with a need. So you're fixing somebody else's tractor. I know. Fixing somebody else's tractor while yours is broken. Somebody needs their lawn mowed, but yours is 6 feet high. You lost three dogs. They're not loners. They need to be needed by other people. So people of service love to be around other people. It's not that they are extremely social, but they need to know that what they're doing has value. They do not like their time wasted or unappreciated. They are not in it for the glory, but need to know that their gift is not being wasted or disregarded. They're not long-range goal-oriented. So if you give them a lot of details, they're saying, no, just tell me what to do. Just put it in front of me, I'll take care of it. That's a person with the gift of service. Because they usually are involved in the practical, they usually feel unqualified for spiritual service. They are what we call gap fillers. Whatever needs to be done to bring the completion of the vision, they are going to work hard to make it happen. They're eager to please. They can be easily taken advantage of, even accidentally. When they are following Jesus, they are usually very positive. When they're not following Jesus, they're complainers and very negative individuals. Yeah, very negative, because they're just mad at everybody because they feel used by everybody. So doers are extremely important. And these are the people that literally make the entire ministry move. So a lot of people have the gift of service. And you need to know that, dear God, we appreciate you. Honestly, we appreciate you. On a Sunday morning, it takes over 125 people to make this church run, just one service alone. 125 people. How many in the youth ministry, Pastor Cody? Leaders, making it happen. 28 just to make the youth ministry happen every single week. We can go through the list. I know 72 children's workers every month have to happen or else it's not happening. These are people that are the service. They're making things happen. You know, I thank God for the people who mow the lawn here. I thank God for the people who change the light bulbs here. I thank God for the people who come and straighten out the chairs. Man, can you imagine without doers, the chairs would be upside down and we'd see stains. You could eat last month's meal off the chair sitting next to you. We have had people do that, actually. I don't know who you are, but you should have eaten your eggs. Eggs and bacon and toast, you left them under your chair. Next time, share, and they won't be left over. Amen. Here we go. Oh, that's right. Nothing in the sanctuary. That, right there. Do you see that? That was the motivational gift of prophecy. Right there. They don't belong in the sanctuary. I love it. Here we go. The teaching, motivational gift of teaching. These are the people who are text-oriented. I remember I had a woman who was teaching our Bible class one time, and I said to her, you know, you're a little gruff. And she said, listen, you need to understand, I don't even like people. She says, I love the Bible, and I'm teaching them the Bible. I don't need to be their friend. And I said, well, you're a little unhoned. Ministry is loving people, you know what I mean? You're giving them the word, yes. But people with the gift of teaching are very text-oriented. It really is about, in fact, what's amazing is people who are text-oriented or teachers, they honestly don't care about my stories. Some people really hate my sermons because when they're text-oriented and when they're teachers, they say, listen, I don't need your anecdote. What is the text saying? It's all they care about. And get to the point. I want what the text says. I don't need your story. I need what the Bible is saying. Get to the point. And that's great. But, you know, as a teacher, you need to recognize that not everybody has that same gift. Can I hear an amen? They want the truth exclaimed, and the truth is more important than people. Let me see. Definition of a teacher. Here we go. They want truth to be clear. They're people of step-by-step order. You know a teacher when you go like this. So what are you doing today? Well, you know, I'm going to get up at like 7:15, and then I'm going to eat breakfast for, 20 minutes or so. And then I'm going to jump in the shower. And once I'm out of the shower, you know, then I'm going to, you know, don't forget to brush your teeth, you know. And then I'm going to get dressed. And then, you know, I'm going to, you know, it's only like 7.5 minutes to work. And I'm going to make my way to work. And while I'm at work, you know, I've got a lot to do. Are you ready? You know, I've got to do this for 15 minutes, that for 10 minutes. I've got to do this for 30 minutes. And they go, their life is 1, 2, 3, 4, sub A, B, C, D. I mean, they're going to give you every detail. Those kind of people, you know, I love them. But when they start telling me a story, they miss nothing. Teachers miss nothing in a story. They're telling you the whole thing. How was your day? Oh, my goodness, you know, did you smell the air this morning? I don't care about the air. How was your day? You know, they're going to break down every detail of the moment. Why? Because they're teachers. It's important that they give you details, and they're very detail-oriented individuals. They will get very interested in study it out when you give them a text. I remember one time somebody said to me, I have a problem with the sermon you preached. And I said, well, what is it? They said, well, I don't agree with it. I said, well, what do you mean you don't agree with it? Well, I've never heard that before. I said, well, that's cool. I said, here's the text. Here's some commentaries. Go study. They came back and said, you're right. I said, well, thank you. But they want to know the detail. Someone actually just came to my office 2 weeks ago, and they said, I'm getting ready to study the book of Revelation. I said, well, here's a book that will give you the overview. No, you don't understand. I need verse by verse. They're a teacher. They want to know that text broken down to the very words, Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. They want to know every detail of the text. Why? Because that's important to them, because they're a teacher, and to be a teacher, they need to have the information to dispel. They get interested in it. They study it out. They love to study. You know, there are people in this congregation today, you have a hard time reading. They have a hard time not reading. They don't want to just read. They want to break it down into greater details. One of the great teachers we bring here is Dr. Avanzini when it comes to finances. Oh, my goodness. When you start hearing, and Bishop, let's come on now. I can listen to the bishop for 3 hours and not budge and write 500 pages of notes. You know, when he starts teaching, breaking it down, you're going, how in the world did he pull that out of that? How did he find that in there? And actually, I did ask him, and he gave me some hints, so I'm going to try them on you. All right. They enjoy every detail of fact. They're not impulsive. So when you give them an opportunity, they're going to go, listen, I need to go study that out. Now, Ken Clark has a part of this gift. Ken Clark, I remember when, this is Cole's dad. I remember when Cole's dad said to me, I'm going to buy a truck. And I said, well, that's cool. Man, where are you going to go buy the truck? He goes, I don't know. I'm studying it out right now. 3 months later, I said to him, Ken, where's your new truck? He goes, I'm still studying. I'm not even kidding. 6 months later, I said, Ken, where's your new truck? I found it. I think it was in New Hampshire. Yeah, I'm going to go pick it up next weekend. He's been looking for a car for 2 months? He's been looking for a car for 6 or 7 months, and he just bought one. Ken, if you're looking, dear God, we feel sorry for you. But this is the issue. They have to do that. It compels them. They have to study it out. They have to have details. And whenever you hear them teach, and we've had them teach periodically at Empowering Pastors Leaders Training on Tuesdays from noon to 1. If you're a leader and would love to participate, that's a free leadership training every single Tuesday. You can go to our Empowering Pastors Facebook and see all the past ones. We just did one today. It was just, I had a great time. But what's that? It was really good. On learning how to take correction in leadership. Okay, let's move on. The truth of the word is so important that it does not need your opinion or stories. They don't want your fun stuff. Just give them the details of the facts. The next one is called exhortation. This is the most unique gift. This is actually the one I have. This right here is my gift. These are totally people-focused individuals. Now, if you've ever done the DISC, has anybody ever done the DISC training, where it gets into your personality and stuff like that? I have what's called an double I, which is I is a people person. And then your sub one is usually something else. Out of all the entire planet that have ever taken this, there's only 2% that have ever had double I. That's me. It's all about people for me. I just love people. And so this is this gift. This motivational gift is all about making sure that the people are taken care of, the people are loved, and the people are blessed. The exhorter is this person. A person with this gift is usually displayed by a bunch of all the gifts in some manner. So they kind of slide like an apostle through all of them. Here it is. Definition. They're usually the life of the party. People are drawn to them, and they walk in the room without ever saying anything. People want to just kind of gravitate to them. So most pastors are exhorters. So what I'll do to find a leader in ministry is I'll just go and sit back and watch a group of people. And when you learn this, when you learn these gifts, you're really smart to study these gifts, because these gifts are going to help you at work, at home, and at church. You'll learn these gifts so well that you'll be able to sit with someone for less than 5 minutes and tell what gift they are. The power of knowing what gift somebody is of gives you the ability to best communicate to them. So if you're a text-oriented individual, you're a teacher, I'm not going to come up to you and just start telling you my stories. You want to know facts. But if you come up to me and I'm a people-oriented individual, and you start, as an administrator, giving me all the details of your life, I honestly could care less. I'm being really kind by going like this. It's not that I don't care, but I don't care. Because it's not about people, it's about detail. So knowing how somebody ticks, like if I'm going to deal with a perceiver, I'm just going to walk up to them. You know, I remember one time I had a staff member, and I was thinking about this today. she looked at me one day and she said to me, "I'm more spiritual than you." And I went, "Hey, amen." And I said, "Okay." I didn't really know how to handle that. But the more I thought about it was, she felt she was more spiritual because her life was disciplined differently than mine. And what I realized was, because she was a perceiver, I couldn't deal with her nicely. I actually should have looked at her and said, "You need to sit there and be quiet because you're out of order." And she would have gone, "Wow, thank you so much, Pastor." But instead I said, "Oh, yeah." And she felt I was weak. So learning how to communicate to somebody means you know how they tick. If you know how they tick, you can actually speak their language. So if I spoke Spanish, anybody here speak Spanish? None of the Bible college students are here. Anybody speak another language? Anybody speaking another language here? We're all, are you speaking in tongues? Yeah, we can do interpretation, but I mean, that's a little bit challenging. You can understand it doesn't do any good by speaking it. Here we go. So all of a sudden, if I stood up here and I have somebody speaking Spanish and I'm speaking English and somebody else is speaking Russian, if you don't speak Russian, you don't speak Spanish, you might pick up some things, but you don't know really what they're saying. So knowing the language allows you to communicate to them in their own language. So motivational gifts for me are very important because being a people-oriented individual as an exhorter, I want to make sure that I can best minister to people on the level that they best hear. It is a frequency. And their frequency, if you're not on their frequency, then you're speaking a different language or it's all and you're not getting across. Remember, true communication is not saying what you want said. True communication is when they understand what you've said. So what's happened is the body of believers, they themselves don't know how they tick, but then we, the body of Christ, don't know how other people tick. So therefore, what happens is we have a bunch of collisions and controversies that don't need to be there. Amen or oh my. Okay. People with the exhorters, they are the eternal optimists. The glass isn't half empty, the glass is half full. They are the motivators. "You can do it, man. You can make it. You can make it. You can make it." I can't sing. Let's move on. They look past where a person is at and see where they're going to be. You know, somebody said to me one day, he said, "I just don't know why you don't lose your temper with these people." I was talking about an individual. And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "They're so irritating." And I says, "I don't think so." He says, "What do you mean you don't think so?" I says, "Oh my goodness, they're going to be powerful in the kingdom of God. Man, God showed me where they're going to be in the next 5 years, and I can't wait to help them to get there." Other people are saying, "What do you mean?" A person with the gift of exhortation actually sees where people are going to be, and they'll do everything they can to make sure they get there. They're going to cheer them on. Listen, I'm your great, honestly, as your pastor, I am your greatest cheerleader. I will cheer you on any way that I can. I'm going to push you any way that I can. I'm going to encourage you any way that I can, because my gift is a gift of encouragement. They have discernment to see where people, They have discernment to see where a person is in their walk with God, and then passion to empower them to go beyond. You know, somebody said to me, "Pastor, I just can't make it." Dude, what are you talking about? You can't make it. You're going all the way. If I've got to pull you, push you, drag you, kick you, if I've got to do anything, I'll get you there. Because, man, you've got to make it. That's an encourager. Where a person with the gift of perceiver says, "Listen, you made your bed, now lay in it." A teacher says, "You know, I see where you're at. If you do this, 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 and this, you're out." They give the details on how to get out. A person with service says, "Man, you need anything done? I can help you." So the same issue is seen differently through the eyes of each person with a different motivational gift. Yet, you know, if we don't know that, we don't understand why they're not moving the way we move. Well, they can't. They're a toe. You're a foot. Somebody else has a nose hair. Thank God for nose hairs. Somebody else has an ear. Somebody else has an eyelash. Somebody else has an eyeball. It doesn't matter what your gift is. If you know your gift and you understand the other gifts, then you can start moving as one. Everyone works together, one momentum to accomplish the task. But if you don't know your gift and you don't know other how they work, then what happens is you're in a constant collision with people expecting that they're going to live the way you live, think the way you think. I can't understand them. They're just crazy people. They're compromising the Bible. They don't care. All I know is the Bible's true. And if they don't like it, they're going to hell in a handbasket. And then the teacher says, but you know, if we teach them how to do this, they'll make it. The exhorter says, you can make it, man. You can make it. Each one is so different. And we've got to know each gift, because without knowing them, then what happens is we irritate each other. It's true. We irritate each other. We can't understand why they're not smart enough to act like us. They love to help move people ahead. They take strategy and find a positive element for growth. They are the peacemakers. They are face-to-face type of people because they want to touch the person and not just pass along information. They rarely allow their past to stop them from moving forward because they use the negative experiences to build a positive lesson for the future. They care what people think about them, which can be a negative as well as a positive. So a person with exhortation, man, they're that cheerleader. Yahoo! Pastor Dan is an exhorter. Been around Pastor Dan long enough, he's just woohoo! All the time. Yeah, it's true. Here we go. Next one is called the giver. These are the people that love to share with others what they have. And it's not always money. It's their life. They don't have to be wealthy. I've actually found that people with less wealth give more, especially givers. And here's the principle. If God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. And that is the truth. What? Wow. Sorry. So as givers, we have to have givers in the body of Christ. I remember one time, it was actually in a Rock Solid Faith, just like this. One of the givers was in Rock Solid Faith. And, you know, he was new to the church, and I really didn't know him. So, you know, I didn't know he was a giver at that point. And we were sharing about how the bus ministry was increasing so much, and we ran out of room on a Wednesday night. At that point, it was Thursday nights, for those who remember. Thursday nights, and we had the teenagers and the young kids all here at the same night. It was like a packed place. And there was no more room. So we were taking the old garage out back, and we were making three classrooms, and it was going to cost $25,000. So I said to the body, you know, to Rock Solid Faith, and said, you know, this is what we're going to do. So I just want you to start praying about it. We're going to receive an offering in a few weeks and just sow towards that so that we can, you know, we can build those three classrooms for the kids. After service, the guy knocked on my door. His girlfriend was with him and said, can we come in for a second? And I said, sure. And they were living together. You know, they had been living together for a few years out of wedlock, and came in, and he said, listen, I really feel led of the Holy Spirit to give you a $25,000 check. I said, you do know this is not going to get you closer to heaven, right? You still need to repent. That was my exhorter coming out. And he goes, oh, I understand that. And he wrote a check out for $25,000, and we were able to build that back thing. It was one night. Yeah, it is cool. You know, it's really neat watching givers. John Evanzini has had multiple people write $1 million checks to do the work of the ministry. Those are people with the gift of giving. And then there are people that don't have a lot of money, but if they see you without a shirt, they're going to take theirs off and give it to you. Ooh, sometimes scary, but I mean, they're going to give you their shirt. Now, I'll share, there is a giver in this church, and his name is Michael. Michael Cox is a giver. Yeah, that's you. Michael Cox is a giver. This guy will do whatever he can do to bless you. He really does. He does whatever he can do to be a blessing. His daughter will validate. He would give everything away. Everything away. just to make sure that somebody else is taken care of. That's his motivational gift. Now, you might not have that gift. So when it's time to receive a special offering, you're going, oh, my God, I don't want to give anything more. I gave my tithy. You know, that's should be all I have to give. Givers, their greatest motivation is to gain to give. They love to make more money. They love to be able to do extra stuff, to be able to give more stuff. Most people want to have more, to acquire more. A giver loves to acquire to give. A giver has the ability to make wise investments and wise purchases. When they give, they do not want people to know it was them. If you show who gave, if they're a giver like that and you tell them, you tell what somebody gave, they'll stop giving. They're irritated that you made them a spectacle. Here we go. They love to give, but get angry with manipulation, high-pressure, guilt-giving maneuvers. They'll actually stop giving altogether. They desire to stimulate others to give because they understand the joy of giving. Has anybody ever listened to Family Life Network when they do their share-a-thon? And all of a sudden you hear, someone just put a challenge out. They'll match everyone that gives $50. Well, that's a giver. Because they want to motivate you to be a giver. Why? Because they know if you give, you shall receive. They know the principle of sowing and reaping. And they know if you learn this principle, then you're going to increase yourself and you're going to have more to give. So givers love to stimulate other people to give because they understand the whole principle of the fact and that it will always be a blessing. You can never outgive God. Amen? My wife is a giver. It's one of her motivational gifts. And I remember when we first got married, you know, we'd have a few dollars in our checkbook, and we'd go to a meeting, like, let's just say a meeting with Brother Ted Shuttlesworth. And all of a sudden, I would get home, and the checkbook is empty. No, she didn't write 90%. She wrote 99.9999% because you have to leave $5 to keep a checking account open. Now, my children both have that gift and have drained their bank accounts. And so, you know, that's not my motivational gift. I don't have the motivational gift to give. Now, I give, but I don't have the motivational gift to give. And so a person with the motivational gift of giving many times need a balance in their life. Because if they don't, they'll give everything away and themselves have nothing. Not that God won't replenish, but it will take longer. It's not as wise of an investment. They just always write to zero. So a motivational gift, they just give it all because they love to give. It just gives them the greatest joy. They are the people that they can see a hurting person or listen to or hear a need, and they find a way to meet that need. They take great offense if their gift is not used properly. If you are not using the finances wisely in the church, they stop giving. That's why when we do an annual business meeting, and you're all welcome, we don't have a lot of people that come to that. It's in January. When we do our annual business meeting, we will give the most detailed annual business meeting you have ever seen in your entire life. Why? Because we love to show that we are very responsible with God's money that you have given. They're not cheap, but they're very aware of spending money and its worth. They want to make sure that whatever they give is their best, not junk. They don't give junk, they give the best. The next one is called leading and administration. These people, again, are task-oriented, not people-oriented. They're task-oriented. They are leaders and administrators in organizations. Here's some of what they do. They are out-front people who motivate others towards a goal. They'll push you to accomplish. They love to see you accomplish why you're here. Two, they see the large picture and can calculate how to complete it. They are dreamers who make it manifest. They take the whole and make it workable at every single step. These, again, are people you can recognize because their whole life is in boxes. They do everything in boxes and by numbers. Everything is by detail. You go to their house. I was at a house the other night, and I found one of these guys. really, this is what he is. This is who he is. He loves numbers. And I walked into his house, and it was like immaculate. So I started moving things. I did too. It's the best. Carla Vischer is one of these people. There is no more fun than this. Walking into her office and taking her stapler and flipping it upside down. Or taking her pens and dumping them out because she can't handle it. She's got to clean it. Some people call it OCD. We call it administrative. I mean, everything has to be in a spot. And the detail of it is just, it's to the nth degree because they can't see anything disheveled. I love these people. They are the most fun to torment you've ever had in your entire life. They don't wait for someone else to begin. They jump right in and make it happen. They're not procrastinators. They are delegators. They know they cannot do it all themselves. Because they're task-oriented, they're willing to accept conflict to fulfill the destination. They're loyal and demand loyalty. When there is not a leader in the room, they step up and take charge. You don't have to wonder who they are. They're in there taking charge right off the bat. When honed, they respect authority and submit. When not honed, they're rebellious. I'm going to do it my way. No one's going to tell me how to do it. That's an unhoned person. And remember, unhoned means you're not living in the spirit. Their joy comes in seeing a plan come together. And when the goal is completed, they're ready for the next opportunity. Now, here's one of my favorite ones because I just love watching these people. It's called the gift of mercy. The first time I really ever saw this, and I've given this example before, was when I got a call when I was pastoring in Newfield about this man who was in a comatose state, and the hospice was there, and pretty much he was dying. And the family called me up because he was not born again. So I went there, and his wife was there, and they were in their late 70s. And the daughter came up, and I said, on Trip Hammer Road, and I said, can you take your ma down to Ithaca? The only place there was down there was Friendly's back in those days. Take her to Friendly's. And they went into Friendly's, and I looked at him, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to get up. He'd been comatose for over a month. Sat right up in his bed. It's close as I've come to raising somebody from the dead. And I said, hi, sir, how are you? He says, good. I said, I want you to know that I love you. Are you okay? He goes, well, no, not really. I said, you need Jesus. I was able to lead him to Jesus. But the associate pastor that I had with me, dear God. Now, remember, this man's been in this bed. It's a hospital bed for a month. No bath, no shower, only sponge. There was fecal matter on the sheets, some fecal matter on the wall. His hair had not been washed. The aroma was strong. And here is Bob, stroking his hair. I'm saying, don't touch him. He's stroking his hair, and you know, his hands are on the sheets, and it's right near where the fecal matter is. And he said, oh, I love you. God's gonna touch you today. And I'm saying, oh. I was really seriously grossed out, man. So his wife comes in, and, you know, he says her pet name, and everything's beautiful, and he got saved, and he died like 2 days later. It was perfect. You know, God raised him up just long enough to save him, and then he went home to be with him. It was awesome. But we were leaving. We were going down to Friendly's next. We're walking out to the car, and Bob walks up to me, and he goes, oh, Pastor, I said, don't you touch me until you go get your hands washed. Bob had the gift of mercy. Totally people-oriented, and they feel what other people feel. They got that feeler thing where they just look at somebody, and you can tell whether they're hurting or not. They can have the biggest smile, but a person with the gift of mercy will go, yeah, they're hurting people. And I'm going, you can make it. The perceiver says, what did they do to get in that position? The person with the gift of giving says, do you need any money? The teacher says, you know, if you take these steps, you'll get through it. And the administrator says, I can help you with this. Let's go together. We can make this happen. So every person sees it differently. But the person with the gift of mercy just is moved. I'm talking like, we'll even cry with them. I'm not a crier. Somebody says, you're not really a merciful person. And I said, no, not really. My wife says, no, he's not really at all. I remember when Rhonda and I were first married, she would start to cry. And I looked at her and I said, don't work with me. Not my gift, man. It's just not my gift. I know my gift. Here you go. They can walk into a room and see those that are hurting, even if they're trying to cover it up. They are drawn to those who are emotionally and mentally hurt like a magnet. The problem with that is the person with the gift of mercy that's unhoned ends up taking on the wounds of those people, and therefore they take on offense and many times are destroyed themselves because of their own gift. They are so passionate to do anything to help to bring healing to somebody that's hurting. They'll even neglect their own families and become consumed in helping those individuals who are struggling. They become extremely defensive of the hurting and angry at those causing the pain. When I let a staff member go one time, I had somebody really angry with me. Why didn't you give them another chance? They just needed some mercy. And I said, no, they needed to be fired. Well, no, you needed to be nicer to them. If you were nicer to them, then they would have responded to it. I said, I tried everything. They were not going to respond. I said, the only thing they were going to respond to is having to get a new place to minister. Well, Pastor, you always taught us to be loving, and I just don't think you love people, and I'm leaving. And they left the church. Because they took the offense on of the person that they were hurting for. So people with the gift of mercy, it's a tremendous gift, but an extremely dangerous gift. Because if you are unhoned, you're going to constantly live a life of offense. You're going to be offended for other people all the time. And offended at the people that are offending the offenders when they were offended. Yes. I did say that right. If you figured that out, I did say it. They are loyal to genuine people and caring people. They need people and close relationships. They cannot be spoken strongly to because of their feelings. They're usually worn on their sleeve. So, if I'm dealing with a person with the gift of, a prophecy or perceiver. I always forget the word perceiver. If I'm dealing with the gift of perceiver, I'm going to tell them, listen, this is the way it is right here, man. I love you. But you can't do that. You say that to a gift of mercy, and they're going, Mom, I thought you loved me. I still understand. What? Why? Oh.
No, it's not me.
It's not me. So the gift of mercy is very needed in church because there are hurting people. But if the person with the gift of mercy has not been healed up, they themselves will constantly remain wounded. So, if you have the gift of mercy and you haven't read my wife's book yet on No More Hurt, you need to read that book because you need to be healthy to help other people. You need to be able to, because you feel what they feel. I look at them and say, you can make it. And you look at them and go, oh, they're hurting so bad. And the person with the gift of giving says, you need money? The server says, do you need anything done at your house? I'll help you any way I can. The teacher says, hey, listen, if you do this, this, and this, you'll be all right. Everybody thinks differently. God made us different. Nobody is going to think the same way unless you're in that motivational gift. And so we need to know these gifts because they allow us to love each other properly. They allow us not to be offended by each other, and they allow us to move as one. Listen, when we do the rest homes and things in that manner, when Brother Carl does those rest homes, you know who usually goes to those rest homes? It's usually the people with the gift of mercy. Because they look at these individuals that are in the rest homes and they're moved by them. People that do great at hospital visitation are people with the gift of mercy. They're powerful because they get in there and they can actually feel what these people are feeling and meet their emotional need and their spiritual need. And by praying in faith, they'll meet their physical need in the power of Jesus' name. It's so imperative to recognize that you have to have the people with the gift of giving in a church, because the people with the gift of giving are going to fund the next level of increase in the house of God. It's important that you recognize that we need administrators, because if you don't have administrators, I'm going to drive you nuts. I'm like the visionary guy. I say, here we go. And Brittany goes, hold on. Slow down. You're moving too fast. You got to make. What happens is that if you don't know how we all flow. Now my question is, do you know what your spouse is? If you're married, which gift is your spouse? Because if you don't know that, then you're speaking French. And you're expecting her or him to respond to you properly. And listen, if she has the gift of mercy and you're talking to her like she's a perceiver, she's constantly weeping. You hate me. And you're sitting back and going, hey, I'm just trying to tell you, baby. And you're wiping her out. It's so important that we understand these motivational gifts, and it's important that you take these motivational gift tests. You know, I would encourage you to take this. It won't hurt you, but we're going to get you the one that you can take. You can't fail. it's just encouraging to you. You can't fail this test, all right? You can't fail. You're in good shape. Turn to someone and say, you passed. You passed. Yes, you passed. You saw my gift come out, didn't you? You passed. Glory to God. Here we go. Remember I was telling you before, the person with the gift of perceiver and the person with the gift of mercy are usually always at odds. Because, yes. Yeah, you usually have one major and one minor. So like for mine, I'm being an exhorter, I get to float in all of them. But my minor is probably more leader, administrator. And I've gotten better at the administrator side. Yeah. The exhorter is able to float with all of them, just like the apostle is can float between all five of the spiritual gifts. Yeah, the problem is the TV folk. They didn't hear a blessed word you said. They were staring at my head. So Marge Engel is here in the room. You need your Christmas orders. Marge, stand up and wave at everybody. You need your Christmas order. Really. And I'm not even getting a cut. Maybe I should. Okay, here we go. Why are these important? We've gone through all of that. I got no more to say. All right. Does anybody have questions? We got questions.
Yes.
Now, remember, the longer you ask the question, the more I can eat Marge's stuff.
So let me tell you a story. Let me start with that.
Make it long.
Yeah, I'm trying. Let me gather my thoughts. This will take a minute. No, my sister was, mentioning that, what are all, okay, so I guess I'm an exhorter in some fashion. So basically my question is going to be, how do I know, I've been having this conversation with my friend on how do I know, what is my purpose? What is my goal? What am I supposed to be? So I understand what you just said about all these gifts. So I have all these spiritual gifts, yet not one is honed in, or do I know which one to hone, or which one he's honing? Because he seems to be honing them all, but I don't seem to pay attention enough. He works for me in all these ways. So hold on, I got more to say. That ain't it. Keep eating. You ain't got enough bag there for what I got to say. But right, it's like right. I know this. Lately, it's been really the Spirit's been pulling at me to get me to understand. You put it in simpler words. I don't know how to describe that. So you just described it. He's getting me to understand. What is my gift, and what is my purpose? And so then my question to you directly is, well, then how are you going to lead me to find out exactly what that gift is when I'm struggling myself?
It's very easy. This motivation, yeah, it is.
So you're calling me stupid. Kind of, because no. I mean, I'm struggling.
I'm trying to, watch. Here, you ready? Here it is. I know, so go build something. You're going to find that the old KISS rule is how God created it. Right. You know, the KISS rule here is very important because how these motivational gifts are explained, when you take this test, you're going to go, oh, gotcha. It really does unwind it that simply and that with that much clarity. And then what we can do is we'll connect you with Pastor Daniel Dykes, and we're going to help fit you in a ministry that fits your motivational gift. And in that, all of a sudden, you're just going to go, it's natural to you. Listen, if you don't like children, you're not called to children's ministry. I'll say this. If you can't sing, you're not called to the singing ministry. He's gifted, isn't he? Isaiah. He's called to the singing ministry. Now, I led worship in this church for 4 years. And you better bless God that Isaiah's here. So, this motivational gift that's in the book, right here, there's two different ones. Yep. There's two different ones. These are not the best. I'll have one for your hands next week. Is that fair? So that you'll have it in your hands and you can take it. But take these two because it'll be fun just to see in the comparisons. You can't lose. They're free. Free means no money. Yes. No. No, we had one. We had a free one online. I had joined this organization for to help. It's a discipleship program. It was like $100 a month to join this organization. And part of it was $18 extra. They gave you a motivational gift test you could put on your website. Well, I got everything out of them I needed. So I canceled the subscription but kept the $18. And then they let me know. You pay $1,800, you can keep the $18 one. But if you don't, then that's no good either. So we are trying to find a new one to put on. No, you don't have to. If you did it online, you're good. We have it stored, actually. So I would encourage everyone to take the one that's in the book. If you don't have that, then I'm going to leave the book up here open for you, and you can just come up and write the website. Or just actually, your better bet is take a picture of it with your phone. That way you can just take it home and type it in. But I would encourage you to take the motivational gift test. It's really going to help you. It's going to build you up. It's going to help you know where to start. Then we start developing you. And that's the part about growing up in Christ. We start developing your gift to where you are going to be fitly formed and joined together as the scripture declares. And you're going to be able to do great things for the Lord. You might think, you know, right now, I'm going to take Josh. Josh is in the parking lot right now. And people think, well, he's just in the parking lot. No, he's not just in the parking lot. He's smiling at people, waving at people, you know, directing them into the parking spot so they know where they're supposed to be. I personally love being out on the driveway. I adore that. I love waving at people. That's the exhorter. I love waving at people and loving on people and getting selfies. You know, the whole thing, you know, doing all that stuff. Why? Because it lets people know they're loved. You know, Rich is at the front door. I mean, you can't get by Rich without a hug and letting him know that he loves you. Oh, Santa Beard, man, I love that thing. You know, you can't get by that. Everybody has to give Trevor, man, when he gets up on that guitar, he makes that guitar just scream. He's a beast. In fact, there was a local man who said he's the best guitarist in our area. Watch. A good musician says, oh, no. That's when you know he's a good musician. So, I mean, all of us have these gifts. You know, this guy here, literally, I just want to put him out there to you. He can fix anything. You got something broken, call him. Just trying to be there. And he lost three dogs in the yard already. But honestly, he's the kind of guy that he literally, not figuratively, can fix anything. He's that gifted. You give me something, I'll take it apart. It's no lie. That's no lie. You know, Marge back there, she is a painter. That woman, she can, well, you see your work going all the way down the children's hallway. How many people are changed, blessed, encouraged every single week walking down the hallway of the kids' ministry? You know, everybody is fitly formed together. You are needed. And God has a great plan for your life. And you might think of it as nothing big, but God says, no, no, no. I'm going to use your life coupled with everybody else to change lives. And there's nothing more exciting than that. Nothing more exciting. And you see, that's the exciting part. You know, I know you think at times that you don't have a lot of worth, but let me tell you what you're going to do next year. You're going to lead a bunch of children that don't have dads on hunting trips for us. And you're going to show them how to hunt. And you're going to teach them principles. So you don't even know that. I just threw you under the bus. You can make it! Does anybody have any questions? Whip stinking, someone stole my candy corn. I don't blame you. I'd steal them too. It's all right, I got another bag. Anybody else? Any questions? Was this helpful tonight? Very good. Just beginning. So I just want to see you all busy. Turn to someone and say, you got to get busy. Listen, if you're not doing anything in the church, you got to ask yourself why. You know, there's so much to do. We need workers. The Bible said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. You're the laborers. We're all, if we stay in our gifts, we'll change lives. And it's exciting and fun to see a life change. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want to remind you, Brother Tiff Shuttlesworth will be with us on Sunday morning. You don't want to miss it. You need to bring sinners. He has a special anointing to see sinners saved. So bring in the hardcore. Bring in your hardcore friends. Get them to the house of God on Sunday morning. And I'm excited. Brother Tiff is with us just once a year. Do want to remind you, I saw that we were putting money in garbage cans on Sunday, so we're going to change that. Anybody else notice that? Huh. Isn't that horrible? Garbage cans. I bet Josiah Skinkle thought of that. He's just a doer, man. He's gonna make that thing happen. I'll just go get some garbage cans and throw them. Do you know why we have ushers holding that now? We did have some thieves stealing money out of the offering pails when they were sitting there. So we had to stop. What were you going to say? The perceiver was making it happen. Amen. Well, there she goes. So the offering's here. Make sure everybody gives. Remember, never come to the king's house without a gift. I love you. Thank you so much for allowing me to minister to you. If you're online, make sure that you give right online. Bless the king. Amen. Have a Merry Christmas.